Hello and welcome to the Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Rob and Kelvin, and if you are joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. My co-host, Kelvin Malone, what's going on, man? It's been a while.
I feel like it has been a while. This has been probably one of the longest weekends I've ever felt.
Why did it feel so long?
I don't know. I did a lot. Weird.
I think it's a lot. Yeah, me too. I went to a hockey game.
Nice.
The entire house.
Same.
I did other things. I don't know what else I did. I did something on Sunday. I don't know. But I know you went to a tournament.
I did. I did a lot of stuff. So I want to break it down real quick. I know we're short in time. But basically, yeah, I went to a tournament, Smash tournament at that. And let me tell you, man, I got my ass beat. I got my ass kicked, dude. But you know what? I had a fantastic time. It was fun. It was eye opening sometimes because it wasn't just like adults. There were like little kids there too. So it just felt nice to see these kids and they were like all buddies. So they were there like, you know, hyping each other up like, yeah, come on, man, you got this. Yeah. And it was just like really cool to see. And then just seeing them just lose a lot, you know, just kind of like seeing them just like feel that pain of like, damn, like, yeah, man, this is Smash. This is, you know, like no prisoners taken. Like, I don't care how old you are, you're getting your ass beat. You know what I mean?
Did you lose to a teenager?
No.
Okay. You lost to an adult. Okay.
I lost to an adult. Yeah, I didn't get far, but I didn't know. I knew I wasn't going to get far. I didn't train, you know, I didn't practice. So
okay,
I knew off the bat. Yeah, I knew off the bat this was not going to end well, but I had fun. You know, I definitely enjoyed myself there. I also watched the Hideo Kojima's Connecting Worlds.
Okay.
Which
how was it?
Came out on Hulu and it was good. You know, it gives you insight on his kind of journey when he created his studio and just kind of like the behind the scenes of making Death Stranding and just like everything that kind of, you know, kind of led to that point, you know. It was cool. You know, obviously, you know me, I love Hideo Kojima. I wanted to see this for a while now, so it was good to see a little bit more insight in the man's head, you know, and just kind of see how he thinks, see how he makes things happen. So it was really cool to kind of see that. And then I went into my rogue ally, and I actually installed what you mentioned a couple episodes ago, the Chaiki remote play.
Yeah, Chiaki. I don't know. Whatever.
Chiaki.
Let's say tomato.
Chiaki. Yeah, exactly. Chiaki. So I downloaded that. I got that to work on my ally. And I played a little bit of my PlayStation. I played Final Fantasy 16 on it. It ran butterly smooth. There was one hiccup, but it fixed itself. I don't know. It was just like a little, it just kind of like, it didn't freeze, but like it stuttered a little bit.
It's going to do that. Yeah. It's just remote play.
And then I just had issues trying to get the PlayStation home button to kind of start up. So there's no like dedicated PlayStation button when you first install it. So you have to kind of, you know, set it up to a button, you know, you kind of have to set that up. But besides that, I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool. You know, like I'm digging this, you know. I went to my mom's house and I tried to like remote start at my mom's house, which is about maybe 30 minutes. Like 20 minutes away. Not even. Did not work. Definitely did not work. So
yeah, you need a strong internet connection for that to work.
Yeah, yeah, didn't happen, which is fine. I expected that not to work, but yeah, I had a fulfilling weekend, man. And I played Persona a little bit. So I definitely got some stuff in. So pretty pleased.
You had a big weekend. I'm just going to read this text on Saturday at 11:34 a.m.
God.
Sends me a picture of him playing Super Smash Brothers. Still got it. Proceeds to get his ass kicked out of the tournament later that day. Nice.
Hey, man.
Good job,
hey, man.
Real quick updates for me. I am going through Final Fantasy VII, the original, on my Switch. I believe I'm pretty more than halfway done with the game, so it's going to be a photo finish. I think I'm going to be able to complete this game before Rebirth comes out, which sucks because my copy of Rebirth won't be here till March 1st. So while everyone's playing February 29th, the day before, I'm going to be crying in a corner waiting to play Rebirth. That's okay. It's okay. I waited this long. I could wait. That's how you know you matured, right? That's how you know you matured, when you have patience to do these things, I guess. I don't know. Or I'm a fake fan.
But you also, you're like, damn, like, I fucking hate that I have to wait an extra day. Like,
me
too. You're going to stay away from you know, any spoilers. Oh, yeah. You're going to stay away from the internet. You're just going to be completely like radio silent for a while.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting punished for buying the collector's edition, basically.
And then what time are you going to get that? Like later towards the day, like in the afternoon?
I mean,
I work.
So that's fine. Yeah. Regardless, I'll get it when I come home and I'll play it. So I already
surprised you didn't take the day off.
No, because what happens if it comes at like 3 o'clock? That's stupid.
You're right. Yeah. Exactly. Dumb. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Dumb. Stupid.
So, foolish. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Let's get into the news, though. We got some news here. The Daily Duo.
The Daily Duo. Yeah.
The Daily Duo.
What was that? Sora.
That was good. That was great. First off, on the Daily Duo report, director of Dark Souls and Elden Ring may not be directing future titles. Elden Ring and Dark Souls director Miyazaki stated in an interview with IGN that there is a high possibility that we the responsibility of the director to those Souls games going forward. So they're going to move the Souls games responsibility to someone else. He continued, I think it's very likely that we'll see new directors going forward. And I think if we do that, I'd like to step away from that supervisor role and give them full direction and full control over those projects. The only Souls game that Miyazaki has not directed was Dark Souls 2. And that game was met with mixed reviews upon release, and it tends to be the black sheep of the series. Interesting stuff that he kind of wants to step away.
Yeah, you're going to start seeing that as we get older, right? As we grow old with the developers, with the directors that kind of, you know, built these games as we were growing, they are going to tend to back away and be like, you know what, let's have some new eyes, some fresh blood kind of take over, because they've been working on these projects for years, you know, and they don't want to continue being kind of tied down or tethered down to these projects. They kind of want to explore, try different things, you know, do different things. And so I think it makes sense. You know, people tend to not get tired of doing the same thing over and over, but they don't want that that tethered, you know, control of like, hey, I don't want to be tied to this project so long. Like, I want to do something different. I want to try something different. So it makes sense.
It's funny because you look at Sakurai and he's like, I'm done. Like, leave me alone for Super Smash Brothers. Leave me alone. So you see something like that where he's just like tired and he's overworked and he couldn't wait to be done with the game, in a sense that you could feel it, that he was just like, I'm over this. I can't do it. And I think the same with Miyazaki. That he just has always, you know, he's been the helm, and the game that he didn't was in the helm was Dark Souls 2, and that one was kind of the one that wasn't as good. So I think people are a little nervous about him stepping away because they're like, is Dark Souls going to be Dark Souls without him? And I think that's just the biggest thing when it comes to games, is a lot of times when they have this certain person attached to it, you think Metal Gear Solid, Hideo Kojima, off the top of the head, Metal Gear Solid is not Metal Gear Solid without him. Is Dark Souls not Dark Souls without him? We don't know.
We don't. But that's why they're moving away towards it, right? And they're just like, hey, let's have new people try this. And I honestly think they're not going to be completely detached, right? They're going to give some insight. They're not just going to bring some intern and be like, hey, man, like, here you go. Like, good luck. All right. No, they're going to coach and mentor these people to make sure that they understand the vision that made Dark Souls, you know, that made the Bloodborne series, that made, like, just in general, like, the Soul series so good, right? So I'm sure they'll have some type of, like, you know, tutoring or something, I don't know, some type of, like, guidance, right? But it'd be interesting to see how these titles moving forward looks like, right? Because, again, although whoever comes in might have experience, but they might not have the best experience when it comes to Dark Souls, they might have some great ideas, you know, they might have some amazing, like, just cool ideas to make this title even better than what it originally is, you know.
For sure. I think that it might take a dip for a little bit, or that's how I think the first title comes out, it might not be as good as the other ones just because it's not him. That's usually what happens, but I think they'll get their footing again and it'll be all fine, it'll be all right, you know. let's move on to Stardew Valley. A little bit of a different game from Dark Souls. Yeah. Stardew Valley is getting its long-awaited 1.6 update in March. Stardew Valley's creator, Eric Barone, Concerned Ape, that's the basically the developer name, announced on X that the farming sim would receive its 1.6 update. It's the 8th anniversary of Stardew Valley, he posted on X. Thank you for all your support over the years. Today, I'm announcing the PC release date for a 1.6 update, March 19th. Console and mobile will follow soon after. The update will include new items, crafting, recipes, 100-plus new lines of dialogue, a festival, and support for 8-player on PC and more. The game released for PC in 2016 and took him 4 years to develop on his own. The game has sold over 30 million copies on all platforms. Imagine being in your basement and making a game, and it sold 30 million copies by yourself. Insane.
This is how you know I'm so detached to any just, you know, sim, kind of like farming sim game, because I didn't even know this existed. No idea. Stardew Valley was not something that I knew about up until, you know, we started doing the doc, and I'm like, huh, searched it up. I was like, oh, okay, it's one of those. So yeah, but so far, looking at it, loving the art style. Like, this was the art style back in 2016. Like, that looks gorgeous to me. So good on him, man. Like, he's definitely, like, I'm sure he has a team now. I'm sure he's, like, actually building, like, a, you know, like, an actual, like.
No, I think it's still just him.
It's just him. He's just him. He's still in his basement too. Like,
I don't think he's in his basement, but you know, it's just him. For the most part,
I'm a one man army. I'm not hiring anybody.
Well, I mean, that's why it takes so long for all these updates for him, I guess.
Sure, so. Sure. But hey, man, 30 million, that speaks volume. You know, like, he obviously has something here, and the fact that he's releasing it on multiple platforms, it's on Switch. You know, it's on, you know, Android, PlayStation 4. Like, there's, you know, he's widespread. So kudos to him. And if he doesn't have a team, then damn, that's impressive.
You know what's impressive? You not knowing what Stardew Valley is. That is very impressive.
Is that another one of those?
Yep. Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm like, Kevin's not going to know what this is, but it's fine. It's okay. I have it installed. I have it on my Switch, actually. Got it as a. No, me. I think Jess would love this game.
That's what I mean.
My sister's fiance got it for me for, like, I think it was a Christmas or 2 Christmases ago. He got me the code for Switch, and I got into it a little bit. But again, it's not my type of game that I'm into. But sure. I appreciate it. Played it for, like, you know, a couple hours, and I was just like, okay, I'm good on this.
Again, not the type of game that we usually play, but I based off of what I'm seeing, it looks really cool, and I can definitely see the appeal for it.
Yeah, it has a cult following, and it's in a great game. And when we go to PAX, we might play the next Stardew Valley.
In his booth. That's it.
It's just one guy playing one game. You know, he probably was at PAX at one point by himself, if you think about it. Maybe he had his wife or something. That's really cool. Why don't you bring us over to what's happening with Switch 2?
Well, guys, you'll be happy to know that the Switch 2 is releasing in March 2025, not 2024. Nintendo had planned a launch in late 2024 for Switch 2, according to Nikkei, Japanese news publication, priority was given to ensure the initial inventory of the successor console and a lineup of software titles at the time of its launch in an attempt to avoid widespread reselling. Nikkei says it expects the next Nintendo console to again be a hybrid portal home device similar to Switch, as reported previously by VGC. Shout outs to VGC. The publication also corroborates that the machine will have a larger screen than the original, which we already have discussed because of the leaks and all that stuff. Nikkei notes that Switch 2 could yet slip beyond March 2025, depending on manufacturing and how much software is ready for launch. So again, take this with a grain of salt. We don't necessarily know exactly when the Switch 2 will release, but there are, you know, some information out there saying that it could potentially slip into 2025, maybe even longer. We don't know. But March sounds right, whether it's this month, which obviously is not the case, or next year. March, I think that was the original launch month of the Switch, correct? Was that like?
Yes, the original. Yes, the original Switch that came out. Yeah, way back.
So then, March 2025 makes sense. What does this do for you, Rob? What do you think?
I'm excited. I mean, take as long as you need. I know the Switch is a very old console at this point, I guess, but to this day, I'm still astounded by it. It's a treat, and especially with the OLED, because I'm playing Final Fantasy VII on it, and I'm playing it on my TV in my office. I'm just like going through it, and I'm like, oh, I want to go downstairs and hang out with Jess, and hang out with, and I can literally just go up to it, grab it out of its cradle, and just continue exactly where I was. And to me, that will never get old. That will never ever get old, to be able to do something like that. So regardless, like, the Switch One will go down in history as one of the best consoles of all time, in my opinion.
100%. Even when
I was gonna say, I think even when Switch 2 comes out, it's gonna just make what it was even better. So it's just gonna be an improvement on what it is now. But the Switch just opened the door for just, it's gonna be hard to beat this thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Even when I went to the tournament, right, I probably had a few matches in prior to going, and I booted the Switch up after like months. Like, I haven't played that thing in a while, right? So I'm like, damn, this feels good. Like, you know, I got the Joy-Cons that you bought me, you know, connected to it, and it just, again, the OLED, like you said, feels amazing. It looks amazing. It just, like, it doesn't feel like an outdated console at all. UI still looks great. It looks clean. It looks simple. It does what it does, what it needs to do. It works, you know, and it does not feel outdated to me at all, you know. And still, even obviously the games in it, like, you're playing, and like, I'm playing Smash Brothers, and I'm just like, this looks so gorgeous. Like, this looks beautiful. So yeah, 100%. This will hands down be one of the best consoles of all time. As far as Switch 2 releasing in 2025, I'm okay with that. Especially if the push for it is, you know, basically to get more consoles out there in the later run. I think that makes sense. So that way it's not the biggest pain in the ass to try to get one, you know, come release date.
Right. So everyone will be able to get one for the most part. Hopefully.
For the most part. Right. Yeah. You know, you're going to have your issues here and there, but for the most part, it shouldn't be that much of an issue. We'll see. But yeah, man, Switch 2. Next year, hopefully. We'll see.
Well, speaking of Switch 2, let's pause for the news. That was an awful
let's switch it up. Let's switch it up.
Oh, that, switch it. There you go. You saved it. By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, guys, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, drop a review, and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Dude community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are truly built through gaming. A little quiet today, but that's okay. So there wasn't a crazy news day today, you know? A little baby news day today. A little baby. Back to news. Real quick, I got some bad news for you guys. Until Dawn Studio, Supermassive Games, laid off 90 employees. Again, layoffs are not going to stop. They're going to continue, unfortunately. And this is that's the gaming industry. I'm actually listening to a book by Jason Schreier. Yeah. And it is absolutely incredible. So far, I'm on chapter 2, and it's Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. And it's giving me a lot of insight. So I'll let you know my findings when I'm done with it. But this is part of it, right? This is part of the gaming industry. So it's very cutthroat in that sense. Mm-hmm. And Tekken 8 has hit 2 million sales in the first month. So kudos to Tekken 8. That's awesome. Again, it's the first Tekken game that I really, really want to actually try. So tells you something. And then, Kelvin, you want to give us what's happening with Final Fantasy music composer? What's going on with him?
The Final Fantasy music composer Noble Uematsu says composing an entire game might not ever happen again for him. Uematsu, sorry if I'm, you know, mispronouncing his name, is most famous for composing the soundtracks for the first 9 Final Fantasy games and working on numerous subsequent entries. Although Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth contain soundtracks created by different composers, Uematsu still composed the main theme for both games. Quote, "As far as Final Fantasy is concerned, I'm still involved by writing the main themes for the game," he explained. But I don't think I'll compose music for a whole game again. You would have to give it full throttle for 2 or 3 years, and I don't think I have the physical and mental strength to do it anymore, end quote.
Man's tired.
Everyone's getting tired, man. This is the thing, Rob. Again, like I said, we're growing with the industry, right? Like we're seeing the industry's age now, right? When I was listening to when I was watching Connecting Worlds, Hidale mentioned how he's getting old, and he's not sure how long he has. He's not sure how many games he has left, and it just puts that into perspective. It's like, damn, like you're right. This man can croak next year, today, tomorrow, and like what his legacy will continue on. But like that's it, you know. And same thing with, you know what I mean. So there's just so many. It's kind of like that heavy weight on your shoulders, like damn, like we are getting old, these developers are getting old, and all of our our most famous composers or developers that we love, that we care about, that we want, you know, to continue having them make games, that's not going to be the case at a certain point, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like we've kind of grown with gaming, and gaming is also kind of, again, gaming hasn't been around as a lot of other industries, and we were kind of in the mecca of it in a sense. Right. Yeah. So those, you know, when Hideo was working at Metal Gear, he was like, what, 30 years old? He was probably like our age, where we are now, maybe younger. Right. So the fact that, you know, it's almost time, you know what I mean, for him to be like, hey, I'm tired, I want to retire, I want to enjoy my life, and he well deserved, like, just go do that. So, but it is kind of sad to see, like, damn, like Sakurai's not going to be making Super Smash forever, right? You know, it's exactly, so it's bittersweet for sure. But it's in good hands, because, you know, you look at Final Fantasy 16, and that had an amazing soundtrack, right? And that was a different composer. So
you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I think we're going to be all right. So, anything else to add about Mr. Composer Man? I'm not going to say his name. Mr.
Composer. Yeah, I think, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. Go on and do something different. Go on and do something that you love and you want to, like, challenge yourself. Because I think another issue that a lot of people deal with is, I've been doing this for so long, I don't feel as challenged. I don't feel as, you know, as connected to this project as I once was. So I need to try something different so that I can kind of get that, like, you know, that rush blood again, kind of circle, that rush again. Exactly. So
do your thing, man. For sure. Do your thing. Moving on to the next piece of news here, guys. PlayStation Passkey feature is now live for easy sign into your PlayStation Network account. What is it? A passkey is a password replacement that provides faster, easier, more secure sign into your account for PlayStation Network. So it's like a, basically, you know, use your phone and it allows you to log in instead of typing in your password into the PlayStation account. I have a feeling that Sony's has gotten hacked a lot. So this is, and a lot of people's information has gotten leaked, so this is probably their way of being like, okay, we need something that's really secure, so now you'll be able to secure sign in using this way, which is basically using your phone, either put your PIN, face scan, fingerprint, and then you can easily set it up in the security section of your PS5, PS4 computer or mobile device. Yeah, so
I already set mine up, so cool.
Okay, easy. So Calvin can do it, you guys can do it too.
Exactly.
Arrowhead Studio teases exciting new plans over the weekend. Helldivers 2, a concurrent user cap has increased to 800,000 players. That's double than what they were having before. And he said the move has paid off. I'm really happy and proud of Arrowhead Game Studios for an amazing achievement. The servers handled all Helldivers 2 players this weekend without a problem. The studio can now switch its attention to improving the game and work in new content. Now we can focus on improvements, which is the original plan. Many exciting things to come. So they're finally set up with the servers. They don't have to worry about them anymore, because that was the biggest thing. My only thing is, I hope that not too much time has passed already where people are not going to be as interested in the game. I mean, there's going to be people that fall off because what's coming out this week, Final Fantasy Rebirth. So we're going to see a drop in users. That's just what's going to happen. Right. But hopefully after that comes out, maybe it'll pick back up. But it's up to them to release more content and keep it flowing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he even said, like, you know, their old roadmap is very outdated. And so they're now finding ways to, like, really make this new roadmap more enticing, right? So I'm interested to see what they have, because that's going to make or break this game, the roadmap that they have moving forward, right? If they don't have that content kind of trickling in, then you're going to slowly start seeing people kind of push back a little bit and just kind of, like, you know, leave this game altogether. But if they continue bringing in the content, if they continue partnering with PlayStation and doing all these really cool ideas that I have and that other people have mentioned, you know, it would be a slam dunk for them. Like, again, I can't stress enough, put in Resistant Fall of Man in some shape or form. That would be super, super cool. I don't know, but that would be really cool. Or some type of, like, mech, like new mechs, like new enemies.
Killzone.
Cool. Another, like, great collaboration there. Yeah, I just can see a lot of really cool ideas coming, you know, kind of, like, sprung into action if they work well with PlayStation and they kind of, like, bring these ideas at the forefront. But, again, it depends on what they have in store. So we'll see. Again, they're doing a great job. I think the way they've handled the game so far is phenomenal. And I think as long as they kind of push that content, then they should be pretty good. Now, this brings to question, though. This is one of those game as a service titles that PlayStation was pushing forward, right? I don't know if that's going to be, if it's going to be the same moving forward with all the other game as a service content, right? Because now, remember, Sony mentioned, was like, oh, you know what? We're pushing back a little bit. We're kind of holding back on the game as a service kind of, like, strategy that they were doing. Now, with the success of Helldivers 2, I don't know where their thought is now. Like, oh, let's go full throttle. Like, you know, this was great. Let's gonna keep going. Like, let's make more of these. I hope that's not the case, but this was, like, their, you know, they made this happen. It worked. It was success. I can't imagine them continuing that success with every single game as a service game moving forward. We'll see, though.
Yeah, they're probably going to hone in on this game and really take care of it and really give it the not care it needs, but, you know, the resources it needs to be as successful as it can be. So they struck gold with it, and they just need to keep supporting it for it to be in stop. Don't keep having, like, this giant, like, we'll put out this one, because then, you know, just have really one great title that everyone's going to flock to, and, like, there's nothing like it. So I think Helldivers 2 is that title for Sony right now.
Well, they have other game as a service games coming out, though. You know, like, they've announced several. So I don't know where those are going to fall in line with this. They're completely different titles. Marathon is one of them, right? So how that's going to be, and that's a PvP, right, as opposed to this being a PvE, it's just going to be different. So I'm interested to see how those titles pan out. But I don't see them being as successful as Helldivers, because that was just, like, a phenomenon type of thing, you know? We'll see.
For sure. Well, that wraps up today's gaming news. We have some merch over at thegamingduopod.com. Check it out. Thank you to all of our listeners. Make sure to review this podcast. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We'll have more content coming your way tomorrow. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Adios.
See you.